have Christopher Moores back with us on Red Eyes Creations Radio. Chris has a few things lined up for us for today's program. We are going to explore different meditations, the deeper implications of the present, remembering oneself, the truth of our divine heritage, the difference between book knowledge and inner discovery, to name just a few there. And I think Chris was with us about a year ago now, so it's nice to have you back on the show again, Chris. How are you, and how are things over at creativecosmos.org?
Well, things are great. I feel great. Glad to be back on the air with you. I was just looking at a world map before we connected here, and I was looking at how we just connect across the Atlantic. Right, we're actually, if you draw a line right along one of those currents, we could practically make a line right from where I am to where you are. It's kind of cool to think about our range of communication these days and just the kind of world we live in, all interconnected and aware of each other and of all time and everything that's ever happened. So it's an exciting time, you know. It's an exciting time to do the websites and the internet radio, because it's just happening like never before. It's a new phenomenon. We're trying to sort out everything, inner, outer, around and around, what it's all about. And yeah, it's great to be back on Red Eyes Creations. I mean, we have a great history of friendship and doing the same kind of work and the same kind of mission to awaken and enlighten and see how far we can push the envelope while we're at it. So it's great to be back.
Yeah, definitely. That's correct. And I should mention also for those that haven't heard Chris on the program before, that are potentially new listeners to Red Eyes Creations Radio, that Chris is kind of the in a way, I guess, the founder of Red Eyes Creations Radio too, because Chris was the one who asked me to begin with to start up a program on BBS Radio, as the channel was called. So if you have been enjoying Red Eyes Creations Radio, you really should thank Chris for it too, because you're a little bit responsible for all this. Right, Chris?
Well, yeah. I think I happened to be a facilitator of a universal phenomenon, because obviously what Red Eyes Creations has become, I mean, it has such a life of its own and such an energy and such a strength to it. I think it was always coming, you know. It always probably would have been one way or another, but I'm definitely glad to have been a part of it, as you were a part of bringing some of my writings out to the world early on. And the internet, it was such a cool thing how, you know, we all felt called to do a similar thing and started discovering, wow, other people are doing this too. And next thing you know, we're off and running. And so I think we helped each other, and we're part of the universal phenomenon that's happening out there on the internet and across the globe, of people connecting in new ways and transcending old ideas that no longer apply to the new paradigm.
Exactly. Everyone also is kind of, they're going into all of this and then branching out and exploring different topics, and it's nice to see that so many people can, you know, connect in a way and yet kind of doing their own thing, so to speak, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a great mirror of what the energy of the universe is. It's kind of, it's, you're interconnected, and you're one in the sense that your expressions of the same life force, yet you're truly individual in every sense as well. You're like, but you're both at the same time. You're completely free and individual, and you're also interconnected. And that's where you, when you feel that and you realize that both those are at play at once, then you're really starting to get some perspective and you know, maybe even a little contentment that you can kick back and enjoy what's going on.
Exactly, definitely. You know, I was going through some of the key notes, so to speak, that we talked about before the program, and I know that you wanted to talk a little bit about meditation and I guess different meditation techniques, and I think you called it meditation the key to the kingdom. Tell us about that a little bit.
Yeah, Well, you know, when I wrote those notes out, I was thinking about the audience for the show, and, you know, even more than thinking about, just kind of tuning in to the vibes of, you know, getting ready for a show. You open yourself up for ideas to come in, and just really felt it come into me to bring that topic up to, again, express, like you say, you never know, there could be new audiences, and new people listening, new people tuning in, and we want to, you know, mention these topics again and again if we need to, because they are really important.
Right.
And, you know, that's part of the base, is to really make sure we understand things like, you know, meditation, which I believe, you know, some people might think when they hear the word meditation, they might think of, you know, the solitary monk with serious face doing maybe the Om meditation, you know, but it right. seems like foreign. Like they even, it's funny, they even kind of mock it a little bit in our commercials on TV, you know, they kind of make light of it, like it's kind of silly or something.
Sure.
but it, yeah, it's not just that. It's, for me, the number one probably meditation technique that I've exercised and also been asked about is the technique of just watchfulness, being mm-hmm. a watcher, or being present, being here now, and what that entails. That's not a small thing, and it's not a static thing. It continues to evolve and get deeper and deeper and more vast as more of yourself gets tuned into that present, and you recover all the parts of yourself that are scattered throughout space and time from this life and other lives and the whole road you've traveled, which is the beauty of the opportunity of being on the earth at this time. Mm-hmm. Is yes, it there is suffering, and yes, and it's not necessarily an easy road, but we do have a chance to save ourselves essentially by becoming aware.
Hmm. So how do you do it? What's the technique for you to just being an observer of it all?
Well, that's kind of the trick of it, which is kind of why it's sometimes you need these little tricks of explanation, like Zen cone or you know, some of the slap you across the face or something goofy like that, because it's more of a reflecting, like a mirror, you know. It's not, I guess you could say that's a technique in a way, but it's almost a non-technique, where the whole point is that you just observe. Mm-hmm. And in some of the ways I describe it is, well, you don't interpret, you know, you don't, because as soon as you interpret, you bring in your own mental matrix or your own predisposed lexicon. No matter how big or elaborate, you still bring it in and therefore reduce that which is, you know, as much as possible. You want to just give it a blank look. You mm-hmm. just look, you know, and in one of the ways to do that is you don't have huge preference. You don't choose, you know, you don't say this makes me happy and this makes me pissed off. You just take it, and it's just two happenings. You know, you learn to ride the highs without getting too high and attached to that, and ride the lows without sinking into the maybe emotion and losing touch with yourself. You just right. watch. You keep space. You keep, you know, that's another thing I will say sometimes, like space, 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 space. Space, you know, and of course with that time, you know, things don't need to be in a hurry. All these artificial constraints of time that we perceive get us very stressed out and mm-hmm. and thinking there are so many things that we have to achieve in such a short amount of time.
Right.
We get so focused on the outer world, it feels all of everything, and so then that's when our stress level goes up, and maybe even our health suffers a little bit, especially if you continue to do that in the long run.
Right.
So it's just one thing they say a lot in Zen is just slow it down, slow things down, and that helps you slow things down as you approach the present moment. You know, in the present moment, this is another thing. Let's see, you know, get into the esoterics of it a bit as I see it or feel it.
Right.
That there is the body and the mind and that which just occurs in that realm of the five senses looking outward.
Mm.
It is an external phenomenon, and it is what would you say, diminishing phenomenon. You reduce things to labels, essentially, by regarding them as data or information, which is essentially fine, but then it needs to be in that space of observation where you just realize that's a mechanism unto itself. That whole realm is simply a mechanism to understand. You observe it. You get space from all of it. You watch it. You watch it. You watch it. And one of the big things, that's why the Buddhist concept of non-doing, so that when you might have a trigger, you don't go along for the ride of the emotional trigger or the mental path. You just watch it. You watch it. You let it follow it out. You don't interfere. You're fine with it. You just watch it. And still there's space. The watcher who simply observes.
Hmm. And to me, it sounds a little bit also like it's about finding kind of the balance between, well, I guess the emotion itself then, and also the observation, or I mean, to some extent, coldness is maybe a wrong word, but a little bit, it's like, not that you're detached from it, perhaps, but you can keep it a little bit at a distance, but then you don't want to get too much distance from it. Would you say that is a way to talk about this, to find the balance between
that?
That's
a good point to bring in about it. The because we are also being that observer and being free from having to abide essentially by the rules as dictated to us by our little bit of sphere of experience, the little bit of knowledge or data that we are a part of, but instead being kind of universal in your approach frees you to then really live in the moment. When you're in that moment and when you're with somebody you care about, you and your whole being is there, your attention is there, your heart is there, and you're able to connect with their soul because you're not so focused on the body,
right?
Then you're getting deeper into the human experience, not farther away from it. So just like the first thing we talked about, there kind of being two sides, you know, where on the one hand it's very active, but on the other hand it's at rest as well, where yes, we're totally engaged in the experience of living and being with the people and being with the outer world, but we also have that inner space, which is our individuality,
right?
That is so, that is not a choice or something we're deciding, that's something we're uncovering or remembering. There is that space, our individual nature, that is going to be ours, and nobody else will ever be in that space. No matter, you know, you share completely maybe with friends or loved ones, but there's always going to be the space that's yours. That's a gift. That's not a bad thing. You come to terms with that space in yourself, which is truly yours and yours alone, and that's your individuality, and that is one doorway to connect with the source. That space, that's your light, that's your inner light, your essential space, your origin.
And you mentioned attention also, and to me a little bit awareness is about, it's also about, you know, focus and as you said, attention, meaning that when you're not aware, you're a little bit lazy almost. That's the way I would put it. I don't know if that's the correct word or if you would phrase it like that.
Well, you can allow yourself to kind of be beat down by the inertia of kind of the mass consciousness or the TV consciousness or all the pressure is to kind of give in a little bit and just let it all fly or whatever, you know. And that's kind of what the awareness is, like the fish swimming upstream, I guess. You know, we're going back up the chain and we have to overcome the inertia or the momentum in the other direction. And when you're saying about the attention, you know, I'll say one way I look at it too sometimes is like being like a cat, where a cat's at rest, essentially, really relaxed, but in a moment's notice, they can jump to complete attention and have their whole energy ready to just fly into action, because your awareness was observing it all along, and the awareness has complete mastery over all the energies related to the body and can just decide in an instant to marshal all its resources if it needs to. You know, but then why waste the energy when there is no threat, essentially? Release. That's one of the biggest things, I guess, that I've learned over the years, to release. Just let it all just flow out, you know, to be in complete relaxation, you know. And partly right. that space makes it possible, because no matter what's going on, how crazy the world is and your life is and everything else, you can still get into that inner space that knows that whatever happens, even if the universe itself were to suddenly shatter into pieces and disappear and you still were awareness, you'd still just sit there watching, you know. In that space, you can release, just let the body just, and then experience maybe a little bit of peace, you know, let it go and relax, enjoy, have some peace, and have some time to yourself, you know. I think that's a key, is to make sure you value that personal time. Everyone takes a little time for themselves.
Right, so this is also about having, I guess, contact with yourself, meaning that you're not off somewhere other. When you mentioned the analogy of the cat there, my sense of it is that this is also about kind of knowing yourself and having that contact with yourself, so you can instantly you know, connect with yourself, basically, and your body then, of course, too, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, and that goes back to something we've talked about in the past, where we have you know, all these impulses put into us by different people in the course of our life growing up. You know, we all have that. Different people tell us, you know, and it could be even good values, so to speak, you know, right. a moral system, or, you know, a certain way of looking at this or that or the other thing. And all that stuff gets put into us, and then maybe we lose touch with where it came from and think that is ourselves compelling us for, but in effect, it's actually just our environment. And so at some point you have to find all that stuff that wasn't your, I mean, if you're in search of your nature, your inner heart, you know, your true calling, that's one of the first things you got to do, is see that which was superimposed on your reality by the outside, and then get that space from it, you know, kind of release that. And then, I mean, the tricky thing is it puts you back, you no longer are compelled forward by those things, and you have to then decide for yourself what the next step is. It's totally then in your hands to make of it what you will.
Interesting.
At that point.
And, you know, to bring oneself into the present, that's obviously different, you know, it's different for everyone, what kind of... what makes that, or you know, how that works for an individual. What helps for you to kind of to bring you back, so to speak, into the present when you kind of, you know, meander off somewhere, either if it's in your thoughts or, you know, whatever it might be?
Yeah. Well, one thing I did myself is I almost create these little wedges in my thought process where, you know, I'll remember something and I'll bring it back again and again. Like, remember, you know, especially initially I did that, like, remember myself. So establish like a forward flow of thought, I guess, that then resisted the fall back, you know. So because whatever is in your mind is going to cycle around. Mm-hmm. See, these things are kind of just keep cycling around. And so if you put in a little notion to yourself to remember yourself in with all that stuff, well, then that's going to cycle back around. So then every once in a while you're going to have that come around, and you're going to remember yourself, and then you can bring yourself back, you know. Or I started bouncing off of things. Like, this was something I picked up from I think the Teach Not Han books, you know, of like, say when I faced adversity, such as waiting in a line or at a red light or you know, something was upsetting me, to then use that as a call to attention,
right,
you know,
right,
rather than be angry, you know, bring it into my awareness.
You can use that in a way. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, it's a different way of looking at it, rather than getting down about it or thinking that things are against you. I guess you use it to remember yourself, and because essentially whatever's happening on the outer world, like, you know, there's always going to be ups and downs or round and rounds or this or that happening. So if you're gonna just ride with that, you're setting yourself up to be upset. It's inevitable that if you ride along with that, you're going to be upset. But if you control your own destiny, you know, you keep it in your own hands and keep that watchfulness where you're just presence, you know, and again, you're going to experience it on a human level too. And
right,
you experience it very deeply and very powerfully from that state of awareness. They both exist simultaneously. You're in that space of watching all, you know, and not to mention that you're also between the space of watching and that 3D outer world. You're going to get tons of other inputs, you know, tons of
right,
other, you're basically opening your energy to a whole other frequency range. You know, I've heard many teachers talk about it, like the radio, where you tune into a frequency and, you know, there's higher frequencies, there's lower frequencies. Well, you know, from that watchful state, when you unravel all the mess that has you entangled, because here's the next level. Okay, so we've established kind of the physical world ties. Well, there's also astral ties as well. You know, there's there's much karma that goes into the astral regarding the way from the watcher on down, you know, because we get out of the entanglements of one life, start working into our soul. Well, then we start dealing with a whole other set of issues, our entire journey, our broader life lessons, and what it's going to take to purify your soul, your being, you know, what, because you feel at that point, you will feel a yearn, you know, the reason you find the soul or reconnect with the soul is because you'll feel that inner calling or that inner urge. Mm. So you're also going to, as you, now this is kind of, I guess, you can look at it both ways, from the physical body 3D out to the higher vibrations, or also from the higher vibrations on down into the body, you know, and I, but all along those vibrations, you're going to get messages from, you know, you might be able to suddenly contact or feel like, this could also happen in the dream state. You'll in a dream connect to someone you love who's passed over. You know, you'll have a dream of them and you'll remember it, and it'll have meaning and it'll have substance. Well, you watch those dreams too, and pretty soon your waking state and your dream state won't seem that different, because it's all phenomenon. And so you just let it all pass through. That's why the image of the mirror, because if you let it pass through, you still hear it, you still know of it. And so you'll know all the physical world phenomenon, and you also get all the psychic phenomenon, or most importantly, your intuition, space for your
inner knowing, your just sense of how things should be. You know, people may call it sixth sense, but it's real and it's important, and it changes the whole approach and attitude towards living in the world. So we need to make space for all these things in all these different ways and mm-hmm. still watch it.
Yeah, nice. I mean, this is also about, well, I guess we could talk a little bit about, you know, the inner discovery or knowing yourself or being, I guess, excuse me, in tune with your own intuition and the knowledge of that, because again, there are different kinds of knowledge. We have the 3D or the book knowledge of something, but then I guess we also have the you know, the inner knowledge or the knowledge about your own intuition, right?
Yeah, I guess, you know, that's another thing that, yeah, good point. We definitely should illustrate that because, yeah, the book knowledge or whatever, the knowledge in the brain or the knowledge that we read or think about, you know, that all happens in the mental realm, and it reduces, it's just information, you know, and it's fine. We just don't want to be completely absorbed in it. That's the whole point. It's just to get space from it, and it has all the best qualities it ever did before.
Right.
But we just are no longer immersed in it and define ourselves.
We're changing our perspective of it also, I guess.
Yeah. Well, definitely, because then we're no longer kind of running our perspective through filters. We're just seeing it for what it is, you know, just like everything else. I mean, we have all these historical time currents, you know, this happens, that happens, this culture, that culture.
Right.
And now we're having kind of an implosion of all that, where everything that ever happens, we're having to deal with at once. Well, we need that ability to just observe it from afar more than ever.
Yeah.
Or else it'll drive us crazy. It'll drive you berserko, you know, because it's just too much to process, you know, in a way, you sit and try to think about it all. It ends up being a big blah. It doesn't make any sense in a way, unless you get that kind of space where you realize it's all just different manifestations of energy through different, whatever the psychology is, through this issue or that issue caused by this or that suffering, caused by, you know, each other one way or another, you know.
Yeah.
It's just, it's not that hard to figure out in a way. It's just like, okay, I see that point, you know, and still just kind of just knowing that, then you don't have to be bound into that so much, you know.
Right.
So that, I guess that inner knowing, that intuitive sense, it doesn't come to you in the same place as the information plane. You know, even like what I said before, where if you get a message or something from an astral entity or, you know, an whatever you call it, an angel or a guide or just simply a friend on the other side, you know, wants to send something to you somehow and you pick it up or whatever.
Mm.
Still, basically, they imprint upon your imagination or your own frame of reference to convey the message.
Mm. So something is going to be, it's going to be delivered to you in such a way that you can, well, it's going to be contextual for you, so to speak, meaning that you're going to, you know, take the references that you need to put the picture together of the message. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that is one way that a manifestation of the... Yeah, I'm saying that astral communication still happens in the place of the mind.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And we're getting to the intuitive sense happens... you act in accordance with the moment, aware of all of that knowledge. And you have every choice of everything that you've ever gained in the way of knowledge or experience at your disposal to make your choice in the moment, you know, to take the next step. But you do that in accordance with your sum total of all that and how you feel with open eyes dealing with the circumstance in front of you mm-hmm. now. And that's a different approach. That's the inner knowing as opposed to the mental knowing. You don't refer to the past and come up with a kind of a plan based on that which occurred before. You look for the new in the moment because the old will never apply. So it's best to be as aware and alert and sharp as you can and take all that attentiveness to the moment in front of you. Mm. And you in that moment, if you're doing wrong action, will feel it in yourself. You won't need to judge it according to rule. If you're doing something you're not meant to do and you're in tune with your feeling, you'll feel bad about it, kind of. You'll feel like something's gone wrong. I'm not no longer happy, or I'm no longer feeling that buoyancy of living in accordance with spirit, in tune with nature, living sensual destiny.
That's interesting. What do you think that is? I mean, what you're talking about there is almost like a, well, kind of a cosmic morality almost, or a universal morality. I don't know. What would you define that as?
I think there's something there for sure, you know, maybe the law of life itself, you know, because mostly if you go against life and you feel yourself as life, you will, you know, not, you won't feel good. You'll be kind of, you know, one speck trying to go against the whole flow of the universe, you know, that, and probably, you know, somewhere along the way, we're designed with a certain kind of a makeup. Yeah, you know, even in the soul perspective, you know, we consider like the soul like a grander version of ourselves with a whole additional set of parameters, and it might have a million contexts, or, you know, but it's still, even that is a context of some sort. So I guess continuing on, that watchful state should even transcend those kind of notions, all kinds of notions, I guess, but that's like what you say, the cosmic morality, or but that's there's a presence there, I guess, in available through that moment. See, the more I want to draw this correlation here, the more you get into the moment, it's not like these choices are preconceived in any way. It's kind of sprung through that connection, through that inner, like, we're also in tune. Since we're not focused on the outside, we have the space for the flow to come through us. We allow that by being aware and also relaxed and walking forward in that natural inclination, how it occurs to us based on that feeling of rightness, I guess. So so it could go anywhere. I guess that's the main thing about the life aspect as differentiated from a morality aspect, is that, just in my own definition, is that it really can still roam very free, or it might sometimes, I think part of it is it defies, just always defies the rule, so it can never be a rule.
That's interesting. It's something you can never kind of catch up with, or try to pin it down, because it's going to, by that time, it's going to have evolved into something new in order to just be unexpected. And the unexpected, I guess, also always helps to wake you up in a way, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. Makes you keep alert, on your toes. Anytime you fall into that complacency you kind of referred to earlier, like we were talking about the tendency for things to kind of fall into the inertia of maybe density, more into the 3D realm, you know, from just the energies around. I mean, that's definitely the point of a lot of the messages we get on TV and such, is that it's meant to pull us very much into the world.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, we're just, we need to be aware of the energy on many levels, and that space is really, you know, that's for me, that's really the number one meditation technique, because no matter what other technique you're using, the watchfulness is there, you know, so everything springs from the watchfulness. You can use star meditation, like this, you were saying, how do you remember, you know, as we're trying to bring it back to be awake or to be aware or to be in the present. Well, anything, you go outside and you see the stars, in the sky, and you remember what's really going on, and you remember your feet are on a sphere in outer space, and your head's in the sky, and there's nothing above you, and the stars, you know, they speak to us, they call to us from the galaxy. You know, some of us may be from out there somewhere, one way or another, but that's a reminder, you know, when you go out, because I know the more I practiced being present, I noticed things. You know, one of the things I couldn't believe is that I had missed for many years the rain, what I call the rainbow sky, when the sun sets and the sky breaks into colors, mm-hmm. and kind of peace descends across the land, and there's maybe like this half hour of this kind of mood that's just really, you know, a little surreal. And, I had noticed that for years and years, and then I was finally present enough to realize that this magnificent spectacle goes on every day, and I was like, oh man, I can't believe I missed it.
Exactly. Well, it's a display, and it's there for those who are, you know, aware enough and you know, are paying close enough attention to discover it. I mean, there's so many of these little things, and I guess that is part of also of the, well, you know, people talking about waking up all the time, but it's not all about waking up to you know, a larger, you know, conspiracy or whatnot, that things are not as they seem on this planet, but there are other things going on too, you know.
Yeah, and you know, that conspiracy may be true or whatever in its own realm in its own way, but the truth of life supersedes that easily, you know, that, and it is just little things. I mean, you go outside and you catch a strong breeze, you know, I mean, that can be a pretty magnificent phenomenon, a pretty luxurious experience to just feel that wind in your hair across your face and just know that you're alive and experiencing this. And if you got health, you know, if you're feeling healthy and you can just stand there and feel the breeze and be healthy and be alive, and you know, just the awareness of that life within you is the main thing, you know, and everything comes from that. You're aware of that life, and it just feels great. Yeah, the wind, you know, or you go outside and the birds sing. You know, I mean, yeah, it's nature, but it's also the language of the universe. It's the way we're being talked to. We're being surrounded with messages of different sorts. It's that we don't. This is another thing of getting out of our own frame of reference helps with. We don't have to make everything meet our criteria, but then we can go and match the messages coming in. You know, we can speak, you know, I'll whistle to the birds in the bird's language rather than try to make the, you know, this bird isn't speaking English to me, this bird doesn't know anything, you know?
Right, right. But,
you know, what's the matter with this bird? It's just a thing, you know? No, right. I listen to the bird the way the bird speaks. And what's the bird saying? Well, I'm happy to be alive this morning. Or what a beautiful morning, you know. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, let's play around. And, you know, you can feel it when the sun rises in the morning and there's a, you know, dew on the grass and the birds are singing and the flowers are opening in the morning, you know. I mean, there are reminders all over the place. It's just what we focus on, whether we're focused on life or on objects of desire.
Right. Would you say that that is part of the kingdom, you know, that you're talking about?
Yes.
Earlier?
Yes, that is it. That's exactly what it is. That's the keys to the kingdom, becoming present and being aware, and then you start remembering what's really going on, you know, not, and like you said, yeah, not all the conspiracy necessarily, because yeah, that can drive you nuts too. It can all drive you nuts, whatever it is.
Sure.
But none of it is that life phenomenon, that song of the earth or that Garden of Eden. You know, I mean, being thrown out of the Garden of Eden, we're actually still standing in it. And we've been thrown out of it by our perception that we are out of it. That cloak of darkness or density in our subconscious. But if we can be free of that and open to what is going on truly all around us, I mean, it is everywhere.
Mm.
And
I was just going to say, and you know, you made the reference to the Garden of Eden, and if we talk about that, like within the context of planet Earth, that is the Garden of Eden, and if the barrier is, I guess, a mental one, then it's obviously going to be very difficult for people to cross it, because it's they can't. What I'm getting at is that they can't seek outwardly for anything that can help them to get back into the garden, meaning that they can mm-hmm. come back into the mindset of that they're, you know, they're still at they're still in the garden, so to speak, but they have to, you know, cross the barrier, but it's within themselves. So then it becomes very difficult right there. That's what I'm saying.
Oh yeah, I mean, because that's exactly it. If they search for it outside, there's a dead end. It's a dead end that way. No matter which way you take it, it's always going to be a dead end. And people will burn up or burn themselves out trying to chase those dead ends and get caught. You know, there's 1,000 traps in all those pathways as well. And really, essentially, that's the whole story of incarnation, searching for that in the physical or outer, looking for outer fulfillment when it's inner fulfillment that we truly seek, we just don't quite know it yet, which I guess is essentially the core message that we're trying to get out of in some of these shows or in our work. Because what are we doing? Expressing of the heart, expressing art or music, or, you know, letting our conversation flow, because it's again that leap from the head to the mental state to maybe a heart in tune with that life that we've been talking about, you know, and it is a big leap. It's a different way of experiencing reality. You're either kind of in the box and dealing in those patterns, or you're kind of, you know, working to be free of it and establish that new way of life based on not on conjecture, but on that which is being discovered and being verified on a daily basis, both in science and in spiritual related work.
Right, right. And also, just to interject, that all those, you know, things that you're talking about, either if we consider it to be a trap or a trick or whatever it might be that we're searching for, you know, our happiness or for the kingdom, so to speak, or even the Garden of Eden, then outside in the material world or whatever it might be, all those things and all those moments are also kind of helping us all the time to reach the goal, meaning that we're okay, we might, you know, constantly you know, choose the wrong path, so to speak, but the more paths we do choose, the you know, the closer we get to the one that, you know, is individually right for everyone, you know.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we definitely learn by trial and error in the world, and kind of speaking of it that way, like traps or whatever, I guess that's one way of putting it from a certain kind of angle, but
right.
Definitely in other ways, that is our life, you know, our life experience, that is our reality here. And it certainly isn't to minimize the time we have with people and the lessons we learn here, you know. It's definitely kind of a metaphysical philosophical kind of conversational space to kind of say, yeah, you know, it's the hang-ups or the traps or whatever else. Mm-hmm. But yeah, definitely the life experience, I mean, eventually does turn us inward. I mean, that's kind of, I guess, what happens is we eventually get so frustrated seeking that solution in the world, we somehow rest or give up. You know, just like the story of Buddha, he eventually gets so tired that he kind of gives up.
Sure,
which
sure.
What happens, he comes into himself, and in that moment, he then discovers his link to this other life, this other blossoming inside himself, and then he doesn't seek anymore.
Yeah, that's exactly. That's a good lesson, and also I guess something to. Well, again, that's about the perspective we were talking about, to kind of have that as a meme or a a little reminder. When things do go what we consider to be wrong, in our lives, we can always go back to that this is, part of the journey is to make mistakes and to do things that aren't, always the the best thing. But the good thing about that is that we, if we are aware enough, we can discover that we did choose the wrong thing or that we made that mistake, and that's the first step, I guess, towards correcting it or choosing another thing the next time,
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you describe it exactly right. We just have to keep moving, that's just keep rolling, keep evolving through that experience, and that is it. That is the journey, No, especially if you're working on it, there's no serious judgment there or any kind of you have to make those mistakes,
Right.
Like let's take learning a task or learning myself, like a musical instrument, if you don't make those mistakes, you'll never get to the result of being able to play successfully
there
and confidently.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to make tons of mistakes, and the best students are the ones that can release, not get so down or not let the mistakes, hurt them really bad or
right.
Beat down their spirit, but that can just learn from it and turn it to their advantage, and just keep doing that over and over and over, not letting the mistakes get them down, but learning and moving on. That's one of the big Zen sayings too, walk on.
Nice. You were talking about remembering before and also about the what you term the astral level, so to speak. And in regards to remembering, do you think that the astral levels and what we kind of take with us from that level, or I don't know how to phrase this exactly, but do you think that is something that kind of spans across several lifetimes, meaning that we have, a lot of baggage maybe to handle
Definitely.
Or deal with,
Yes, yes, that's exactly it. That once we unravel this life, then we tap into all that unfinished business, and we have. I mean, that's basically what we get. We have the opportunity, and this is a quite a tall order, to become awake, to become aware, to sort all your one life issues out, and then to start taking on the issues of your whole journey here, your whole time in this earthly realm, all those lives,
right?
Because part of this life, I mean, the way I look at it now is I barely isolate this life in my reckoning. I just see it as one phase. I don't think of myself in terms of just this life much anymore. You look through the whole thread of life after life after life after life, and some of what you're dealing with in this life are the repercussions or just the echoes of all those lives, just the ongoing karma, because essentially the form dies, the body dies, but a big part of ourselves just continues to I look at it like they orbit the earth, and you come down and then back out, and then you orbit and then you come down and back out, and then while you're orbiting you can fly up a little ways into some of the astral realms, have experiences here and there, talk to different people, experience different phenomenon, and then you come back down, you orbit the earth, and then maybe take another body, have some experience, and if you get really tied into the earth experience, you might orbit faster and you might take body, and then you die, take body, over and over and over. But essentially you have continuity on a higher level or a different plane of existence. It's just that external form. The form just matches the place of experience. It's an earth body for an earth experience. And, you know, 80 years could be like 10 minutes. You know, it's just
well, I guess some
one
people,
experience.
I guess some people actually would say that, you know, a lifetime, you know, goes by very quickly in a way. I mean, it's weird, but again, time, I guess, is you know, it's very difficult to kind of pin that down. And a lifetime might actually seem very, very short, you know, at the end of the day, so to speak. I don't know.
Yeah, or at the end of your life. I mean,
sure.
You hear it from a lot of older people that, boy, where did the time go? Or time just flies.
Right.
Or,
right.
You know, when you're standing at the threshold looking backwards, well, at that point, it's going to all seem to have evaporated pretty damn quick. It's going to be gone, you know, and you wonder what happened, what, you know, and that's part of the call to being present and aware now, because it's essentially, you know, they sometimes say it's like an emergency or the house is on fire or like now, you know, that's like, so, you know, you bring it to that point of where now is it, because we don't know about tomorrow, because it does, this opportunity slips away. And that whole process of becoming awake, becoming aware, dealing with what's happening and trying to take back up that soul journey, the lessons of your greater journey, not just the few lessons of this life, but all those lessons. I mean, that we have to get at that work and get at that work now if we want to make any progress, because it's a tall order, you know, it's not necessarily you know, a piece of cake to sort through all that stuff and to uncover and deal with the reality of all that stuff, you know, because
sure.
it's a lot to take, and you have to get used to being in tune with it and conscious of it, you know, as well with that space. I mean, that's really getting that space. If you want to remember your past lives or get psychic perceptions or connect with entities, or space is it. You need the space in order to observe that which comes in and kind of see where it came from and see the message there and kind of interpret it or meet it at the surface without changing it.
Mm.
You know, you just see it all. You know where it came from, and you just make it part of how you move forward.
Mm. And again, I guess we could tie back to the idea of what is going on today, considering that many people, you know, don't have even enough time to, you know, keep up with their own lives right now, meaning that how the heck can they have time to, you know, span, you know, give time to something that I guess for most people is very abstract and you know, yeah, as I said, they basically don't have time for their own lives right now. So I guess, you know, the question is it only you that can make the time and kind of, you know, I guess this is also about controlling, you know, your own life or taking control of your own life, because in a sense the planet and what is going on here right now is kind of like a circus, and it's just, you know, going round and round and round, and you have to, you know, step off once in a while and get some perspective, right?
Yeah, definitely you could say that. And yeah, you have to, there's just no way around it. You have to take that time for yourself, you know.
Right.
I mean, for your own, because it's going to catch up with you one way or another anyway. If you don't think it's important or you don't value it, you'll probably burn yourself out a lot sooner anyway, because it's just a part of mental and physical health to rest a little bit, you know.
Right.
Sometimes that kind of thing has been almost like judged against, but restful time and time to yourself is ultra valuable, because then it makes all that on time more effective anyway, operating on a higher level, because you'll have clarity, you'll have peace,
right.
You won't be disturbed by 1,001 other things, you'll be able to operate at peak efficiency.
I see what you mean. So it's almost like you can, well, I guess if you kind of working or whatever you're doing with a constant level of stress, you know, the chance of that you're going to make mistakes, for instance, is going to be a lot higher, meaning that you actually get less and less done the more stressed you are. But if you can face away from that and face out from that and find a little bit of inner peace now and then, and you could potentially become more efficient for the times that when you actually do need to, you know, work a lot or get a lot of work done, basically, you know?
Yeah, definitely. And it'll be more inspired work because right. You'll have that feeling of wellness and that connection to your own life source, which inspiration comes from. You know, you can't manufacture that kind of a thing. You can't force that kind of a thing. You have to nurture it like you would taking care of a plant. You water it, get it sunlight, give it time and give it attention, and it will surely grow. It's really that simple in a way. You know, you do that and it will happen. It just will.
Yeah.
You know, it's just valuing it enough. That's where you get the time, is from valuing it. Realize, you know, not, you know, a lot of people don't want to take someone else's word for it. And until they see for themselves that it has value. And that's why there's a million different pathways to that awareness of that value.
Right.
Like we began the program with, because then something might speak to somebody in a way which will open that doorway, which will then make it possible for them to come into all these other places. You know, they just have to find a link, whatever the link is. And,
right.
Different things will meet up with them at their time. That's why we just sprinkle the seeds out there and see what happens, because once they're out there, it does its own thing. People will come to what they need. The moment will meet them. You know, the moment, I guess when it comes right down to it, the moment meets all of us with exactly what we need.
Yeah.
It's all there. So there's no need to look elsewhere. It's all there.
Right. And it's almost like it's kind of a interconnected, you know, it's about the mesh of synchronicity, and when the time is right for you or for anybody else, that's gonna come along, and I guess that the universe in a way is gonna find a way to nudge you in the correct direction when necessary, you know.
Yeah. And it may, you know, it may not be exactly what you wanted to experience either.
Right,
you know, sometimes it's a pretty serious nudge.
Right.
You know, but maybe, I mean, that just shows you that, I mean, there must be something there to be had. I mean, there's a reason it's nudging you.
Right.
You know, that what you find is very... It really opens you up to a whole other place, a whole other experience. I mean, it's, you know, we go round and round trying to describe it or point to it in some manner or another. But there is a reason for it, you know, that when we feel it, when we connect to it, it is powerful and fulfilling.
Exactly. And one have to find their own style, so to speak, you know, again, getting your own way of you know, attaining awareness or getting more in tune with the piece, or getting that perspective that is necessary. The only person that can figure that out is yourself, you know.
Yeah, I just, while you were saying that, I was thinking, man, it's an individual cosmology.
There you go.
Basically.
Right.
And everybody, we're agreeing on that completely. It's every person has to put together their own path, their own, which is great. Now we have access to everything that's ever been. You know, find what resonates with you and put together your path and enjoy.
That's right. That's right. Hey, Chris, you know, I think this is a good place to round things up for now, but I do want to spend a little time and talking about your website, creativecosmos.org. I also want to know a little bit about, I know that you have a book out there, Pearly Gates Press, and I guess that you have a few more in the pipeline. So tell us a little bit about that, if you will.
Sure. Yeah, well, as always, my website, creativecosmos.org, best place to get a hold of me. I check it every day on my email, cmoors@creativecosmos.org. And we continue to have information center and soul school and a forum of all kinds of interesting things and art and music and news, a little bit of politics here and there. So yeah, come check it out anytime, creativecosmos.org. And the book Henrik was referring to, Pearly Gates Press, you can check that out off of my gift shop link off my site. And that's basically a lot of the writings I did from 2003 to 2005, maybe 2006. And I have another one on the way, Ruminations of the Universe, which is the writings from 2006 and I think 2007. I'm going to put together in another volume. Mm-hmm. And right now I'm doing something a little different on the website. I am writing a story. It's a through-composed story.
Mm-hmm.
So I told you once long ago on one of the shows that I was interested in writing almost a reverse Dante's Inferno.
Right, right. Tell us about that a little bit.
Yeah, rather than kind of spiraling your way down into the depths of hell, you're kind of spiraling your way around the astral plane and, you know, in having encounters with different entities. And I decided that rather than write the story in secret and publish it at once, I would kind of unfold it on my website as I went. So every few days I put up a new page of this journey. It's called The Path of Enlightenment. Mm-hmm. And the experiences that occur there are kind of in accordance with how I see the astral plane to work. So it's kind of has reminiscences of things you might be used to, but also all kinds of different phenomenon of the astral plane included in the story itself. And you never know what the adventure might encounter on the path of enlightenment. So come by the site and check that out one last time, creativecosmos.org.
Thank you very much for coming back on the program, Chris. It's a true pleasure having you back, and thank you again for sharing your perspective with us, because it's very interesting, and again, having a different kind of show, toning it down a little bit, and just as you say, traveling out a little bit to the astral plane and getting some perspective. So it's much needed, and thank you again for coming on the program.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Love Red Ice Creations, and glad to speak to your audience, and I'm available anytime.
Thank you for tuning in, and my thanks to producer Fredrik Palmgren behind the controls. RedIceCreations.com is the website. Join us again on Thursday when we have William F. Mann, a Knights Templar, with us on the program to discuss the Templars, Freemasonry, the Vatican, the Templars in the New World, DNA research, bloodlines, royal families, bankers, leaders, conspiracies, and much more. A program not to be missed. This is Henrik Palmgren. Until next time, take good care and talk soon.